I don't know if I'll get through this one without crying. One of the most vivid stories of my ministry for me is a young teenage boy who was diagnosed with cancer. He was only 16. He was a great kid. He had a great family. He was a good friend. He was the center of the youth ministry. It just didn't seem fair. It just didn't seem right. And all the questions kept coming. Why? Why? It's the questions we seem to always ask in the face of suffering. In Jesus' day, when his disciples are walking by a man that was born blind, it seems so unfair. And yet, in their way of thinking, disease and illness and suffering were a direct result of sin. So, you know, Susie's having a bad time. She must have some sin in her life. Bill's having a bad time. Well, you know, what sin do you need to repent of? We think that we have gotten so much more scientific, that we have really grown beyond that kind of blaming people and that kind of looking for the answer and saying that it's sin. Jesus certainly, in their question, who is it sin, the parents or the person that caused him to be born blind? Jesus certainly puts us straight very quick. Neither. That's not where disease comes from, and we know that. But yet we still have so many questions. Where does it come from? Why does it happen? If God loved us, how could tragedies like September 11th happen in our world? Have we really grown so much beyond the world of Jesus' day, looking for those answers and who to blame? For cancer, we blame the environment, and we blame diet, and we blame stress. But sometimes there just doesn't seem to be anyone to blame at all. In Jesus' typical fashion, he doesn't really answer the disciples' question directly. He almost answers another question they're not asking. Instead of looking backwards and talking about how this came to be and who's to blame and what happened that got us to this point, Jesus just skips over all of that. And sometimes that doesn't quite satisfy me. I do want answers to those questions. But I think the answer Jesus gives is an even more powerful and more important question. Jesus looks to the present and to the future. Rather than looking to the past and saying, how did we get here? How did this happen? Whose fault is it? He looks to the present and says, how God's going to use it. Maybe in our questions of all of this suffering, rather than asking, how could God let this happen? Maybe the question God is wanting to answer for us is, how is God going to use it? And in this particular case, God uses this man who was born blind in a powerful way to glorify God in the present and in the future. Jesus spits on some mud, puts it on his eyes, sends him to wash, and he comes back seeing. Born blind and has vision. It's an amazing story of miracle. But that's not where the story ends. Because see, he goes back to his same community. And everybody starts asking, is this the man that was born blind? And some say that it is, and the man keeps saying, yeah, yeah, it's me, it's me, it's me. And they keep saying, it must be somebody that looks like him. We think we're skeptical today. They were just as skeptical then. Must be somebody that looks like him. Must be a trick. Must not be true. In fact, they get so riled up that they drag him to the Pharisees. You know, this wonderful, beautiful, healing miracle, and they drag him to the Pharisees to get a judgment on it. So they send for the kid's parents, the guy's parents, and say, you know, is this your son that was born blind? Yeah, yeah, yeah. They debate over it, and think about it, and talk about it, and question whether it could really be a miracle of God because it was done on the Sabbath. ask the man what he thinks. They say, you're the one that was healed. What do you think? And the man says, I think the man's a prophet. I mean, I couldn't see and now I can. What am I supposed to think? But that this is great. Then he runs into Jesus again. Because he's kind of been thrown out of the community because people can't really handle this huge, wondrous change that has come in his life and all the questions they have about it. And in his encounter with Jesus, the man gives his life to Jesus and worships him. And God is glorified because not only is he no longer physically blind, but he's no longer spiritually blind. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in the nitty-gritty questions of why that we don't think about what powerful ways God can use it. I started this sermon talking about a situation of suffering that was really hard. A teenage boy with cancer. This boy had the surgery. It was very successful. It didn't eliminate cancer in his life completely. That was still going to be a long, ongoing process of treatments. He's still doing great today. But the surgery left a very visible scar on him. He has a scar from here to here. What most teenage boys wear to school are t-shirts. Therefore, it's always noticeable. And like this man in the Bible that was healed, you know, all these questions. What happened to your neck? Are you okay? What happened to your neck? What happened to your neck? Over and over and over and over and over again. He's brought back to having to remember everything he went through. The fact that he still has cancer. The fact that, you know, he has to have to go through this surgery. The fact that, you know, then all of their questions about, well, you're going to die, and, you know, what does this mean, and you still have cancer? I mean, over and over and over. And the questions got to be too much. And his wanting to hide scars so people would stop asking questions became very powerful in his life. And so he sat down with his youth director, and he was talking about this. The youth director repeated the story to me. Did you know? Came and he talked to me. He said he's really just really upset about all the questions about his scar and all the having to explain and then having to deal with people's emotions about how they felt. It was just too much. And I told him, you've got a choice. You can hide the scar. You can tell him some kind of story to just pass it off. Oh, you know, it's okay. It's no big deal. Or you've got to. Instead of looking at the scar as something to hide, every time somebody asks you about that scar, you have a chance to tell them what God has done in your life. It changed his whole perspective. Because let me tell you, God had done an amazing thing in these kids' life since he was diagnosed. I mean, I told you, he was a great kid before he was diagnosed with cancer. He was an exceptional kid after he was diagnosed with cancer. I told you he came from a great family. Wow. The way that family supported each other and blossomed and grew in faith and their love for each other and their support and commitment. Amazing. Told you that he was the center of the youth group. The power of what they went through. The way the kids got together to pray for him. The amazing things that happened. There were kids in that youth group whose faith grew, who came to know Christ for the first time because of this kid. And because of the amazing way God was working in his life. He has one of the most powerful witnesses I have ever heard. He did the sermon for Youth Sunday, his senior year. You're in a dry eye in place. He changed the whole youth group. He changed the whole community and church through all the things that he was through. And that scar became a sign of it. I heard, you know, he decided to take the perspective of that was a badge to be worn. Anybody asked him about his scar, he had an opportunity to tell him what God had done in his life. Incredible. Just incredible. Changed my whole perspective to hear the story. You know, it's a story that we know really quite well. A scar being a witness to the power of God. We are in the season of Lent. We are in a season that heads towards the cross and Christ's suffering. It should be no surprise to us that God can do amazing things with the suffering and pain and crisis that we in our world experiences. Because isn't that exactly what God did in Christ? We should not be so amazed that God can do amazing things. Because that's what God's about. And it's really neat for me to know. In Lent, one of the things we talk about is identifying with the suffering of Christ. But maybe one of the other things that we need to talk about in Lent is the fact that as Christ heads towards the cross, as Christ experiences the suffering and death, one of the most painful ways to die that our wonderful societies have been able to invent, crucifixion, that Christ can identify with our suffering. Christ knows what it means to hurt. Christ knows what it means to be betrayed. Our Lord and Savior knows what it means to be abandoned, to feel alone, to suffer. And even in the resurrection, the scars are left. Marks on the hands, marks on the feet, marks on the side. And rather than becoming marks of shame, they become a badge of pride. Some way of witnessing what God has done in Christ. So many of us have been through such incredible suffering in our life. Maybe it was a moment. Maybe it was a week. Most of us can name very painful years. Often there are things we'd like to forget. But I have heard some of the most powerful testimonies. I have seen God glorified in some of the most amazing ways through what God was able to do with a suffering in someone's life. In my own family, I remember when my parents went through the divorce. I remember how embarrassed my mother was that she was getting a divorce. She's the previous pastor's wife, for goodness sake. Now, you know, they were the ideal couple. Now they're divorced. This was never supposed to be her. How was she going to tell her parents? How was she going to live with this? We even went to another church for a while where we could kind of hide and not have to answer all of the questions. And to have everybody know when we cried what we were crying about. But I stand before you today, and I can tell you that even something like divorce, that we know is not God's will, God can redeem anything. Do you know what the word redeem means? We throw it around, we talk about the cross redeeming us. It's one of those church words that we use so much we just assume everybody knows what it means, but we never stop to explain it. Have you ever redeemed a coupon? It's a word we use in other places. Have you ever redeemed a rebate? They take this little worthless piece of paper, and they take it from you and give you something valuable. To be redeemed means to be bought back at a price. Jesus redeems us for the very high price of his crucifixion, death, and resurrection. God can bring, buy back our suffering, buy back our sin, buy back our mistakes, and amazingly, make incredibly good things of them. I can tell you, God redeemed my parents' divorce. Through that situation, my mother grew in faith. I grew in faith. My mother is in a second marriage that is very blessed and very good. My dad has grown immensely, and I just can't even tell you how proud I am of my parents and where they have come from and where they have gone. All of my, me and my two sisters are in church and love God. God was glorified in the end. And, you know, I stand before you and I have to say, I don't know where my faith would be. I don't know where my mother's faith would be if we hadn't gone through that. I hope it would be in the same place. I would hope that in spite of the pain and suffering being absent, I would have still grown. But I'm somewhat skeptical. Suffering is so often something we want to avoid, something we want to blame somebody for, something we want to look backwards at and figure out how we could have, should have, would have fixed it if we'd known what we know, if we'd known then what we know now. We want to be angry at others, angry at ourselves. Jesus just kind of cuts through all that with his answer. It's not about the past. It's about what God can do with it now in the present. You have permission in Jesus Christ to let go of the past and to move forward in Christ. It's a new day. It's a new opportunity. It's a chance for God to be glorified. I hope that as this man's eyes were opened physically, we will all be healed physically. I pray for that. But even more important, I pray that we will have those kinds of spiritual eyes, that we will be able to see what God is doing in our midst right now. Let us pray. Lord, we would ask in the season of Lent, as we take the journey towards the cross, the journey towards remembering the intensity of your suffering, the ultimate price of your death, that we would remember your ability to bring good out of absolutely the most miserable circumstances. That we would remember the resurrection. Suffering will not have the last word. Lord, help us to look for you in every aspect of our life and to find ways to allow you to be glorified even in those really difficult places. We praise your name. Amen.